And welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Friday, November 6th, 2020. Here are some of your headlines. No declared winner yet in the race for president, but as vote counting finishes up in two close-to-call states, Joe Biden takes a lead over Donald Trump in Pennsylvania and Georgia and widens his lead in Nevada. Any of those states would put Biden over the top of 270 electoral votes needed to become president-elect. Trump holds a vote lead in undeclared North Carolina. And in Georgia, officials say the presidential vote is so close, a recount is likely. At the same time, President Trump continues trying to discredit the voting process, more allegations of widespread fraud, but not all Senate Republicans are backing him. We'll hear from Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Pat Toomey during today's program. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi formally launching her bid to stay as Speaker for another 2 years, sending a letter to fellow Democrats seeking their support and talking about how losing Democratic House seats in the election, shrinking her majority, might change the agenda. Jobs report for October out. The Labor Department says 638,000 jobs were created, the unemployment rate dropping one percentage point to 6.9%. President Trump's campaign putting out a couple of statements today. The first from the campaign general counsel Matt Morgan began, "This election is not over. The false projection of Joe Biden as the winner is based on results in four states that are far from final." And then a later statement attributed to President Trump himself. It reads in part, "From the beginning, we have said that all legal ballots must be counted and all illegal ballots should not be counted. Yet we have met resistance to this basic principle by Democrats at every turn. We will pursue this process through every aspect of the law to guarantee that the American people have confidence in our government. I will never give up fighting for you and our nation." That statement from President Trump. President's campaign legal team filing lawsuits seeking to halt vote counting or alleging illegal or unfair practices by ballot counters or challenging local election laws. Two suits so far in Michigan and Georgia have been dismissed. Some are pending in Pennsylvania, and the Trump team says it is filing challenges in Nevada. Well, in Pennsylvania, as the counting of mail-in ballots proceeds, Joe Biden went from 18,000 votes down at 6 a.m. Eastern on Friday to going to the lead just before 9 a.m. Eastern. Very close, though, given that 6.5 million votes were cast. Around noon Eastern, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney, a Democrat, spoke with reporters.
Earlier this week, Commissioner Dealey and I sent out an open letter to voters, urging patience and calm on Election Day. And in the days that followed, you have shown it in spades. We ask that you stay calm and stay above the fray. You did exactly that. What we've seen on the streets outside this convention center was not anger or contention, but music, dancing, and celebration. As we predicted, the voters and residents of Philadelphia ensured that our city shined as an example of how to run an election correctly. So in the days ahead, please remember, this is not about a victory for a single candidate or a single political party. This is truly a victory for our democracy. That may sound cliche, but today it is oh so true. The votes will continue to be counted until every valid mail-in ballot, absentee ballot, and provisional ballot is counted. So while some, including the president, continue to spew baseless claims of fraud, claims for which his team has not produced one iota of evidence, what we have seen here in Philadelphia is democracy, pure and simple. Our founding fathers, who conceived this system just a 15-minute walk down the street, I know would be proud. 233 years after the Constitutional Convention, we stand at this convention center and proclaim the system still works, the people have spoken. And God willing, we will have a peaceful transition to power in January.
Mayor Jim Kenney, a Democrat in Philadelphia. He was later asked specifically to respond to President Trump's allegation of fraud, especially in his city.
Yes.
You know, I think what the president needs to do is, frankly, put his big boy pants on. He needs to acknowledge the fact that he lost, and he needs to congratulate the winner, just as Jimmy Carter did, just as George H.W. Bush did, and frankly, just as Al Gore did, and stop this and let us move forward as a country. And that's my feeling. I doubt he'll listen to me, but that's it.
Mayor Jim Kenney. The Pennsylvania Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman, a Republican, held a virtual news conference a short time later, talking about the presidential vote counting in his state.
Let me be very clear. I have no knowledge of any voter fraud. I have no knowledge of any misdeeds other than the process which the Department of State ran this election. That is the unfortunate part, because no matter who wins, you're now going to have 50% of the population, no matter on which side, that's going to not have faith in the results. That is the last thing. And that is unfortunate. But we will allow that to play out in the courts. If one of the candidates decides to go to the courts to seek remedies, we as legislators will monitor that. There's a role for us to play as we go down the road. We will watch as far as oversight. But we're just very disappointed that we're here in a very tight election with all these issues at play because of the actions of Secretary Buchbar, which is why I called for a resignation Tuesday. I did that specifically because I didn't want to do it after the results were in and looked like we were just upset or whatever. These problems were happening before the election. And it's unfortunate that, that there's now this cloud over Pennsylvania, which is what we did not want. But when you take all the security measures, as they have done the last few months, including up till election day, or election eve, this is what you get. Now, you have a lot of conspiracies out there. Again, I am not saying that any of them are true. I have no knowledge. The results may be what the results are. That is fine. This country has had Republican president, Democrat president, and we've all moved forward and survived. And that's what I was hoping for with this election. What we didn't want was all these questions.
Jake Corman, Pennsylvania's Senate Majority Leader, a virtual teleconference today. A similar scenario playing out in Georgia with vote counting ongoing. At about 4:30 a.m. Eastern, Joe Biden pulling ahead of Donald Trump. President Trump tweeting today, "Where are the missing military ballots in Georgia? What happened to them?" About 3 p.m. Eastern, Georgia's Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger holding a news conference in Atlanta, predicting a recount.
"Right now, Georgia remains too close to call. Out of the approximately 5 million votes cast, we'll have a margin of a few thousand. The focus for our office and for the county elections officials for now remains on making sure that every legal vote is counted and recorded accurately. As we are closing in on a final count, we can begin to look toward our next steps. With a margin that small, there will be likely a recount in Georgia. Interest in our election obviously goes far beyond our borders. The final tally in Georgia at this point has huge implications for the entire country. The stakes are high and the emotions are high on all sides. We will not let those debates distract us from our work. We will get it right, and we will defend the integrity of our elections. In some states, there are complaints about monitors not being allowed to watch the count. In Georgia, this process is and will remain open and transparent to monitors. If any member of the public raises legitimate concerns, we'll investigate those. We are committed to doing anything and everything to maintaining trust in our electoral process here for every Georgian, regardless of partisan preference."
Brad Raffensperger is Georgia's Secretary of State, briefing in Atlanta. Under Georgia law, a candidate can request a recount if the margin of victory is less than, or loss, less than 0.5% of the votes cast. A formal recount challenge likely would not be made until later this month. An update on some of the other states uncalled so far. In North Carolina, Donald Trump has a 1.4% vote lead. In Arizona, Joe Biden's lead shrinking as the vote counting continues, but Associated Press predicting election night that Arizona's electoral votes would ultimately go to Joe Biden. In Nevada, as more votes are counted, Joe Biden's lead has been increasing, now 1.7 percentage points over Donald Trump. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican, tweeted today, "Here's how this must work in our great country. Every legal vote should be counted. Any illegally submitted ballots must not. All sides must get to observe the process. And the courts are here to apply the laws and resolve disputes. That's how Americans' votes decide the result." That was the full tweet from Senator Mitch McConnell. During a news conference in his home state of Kentucky, he was repeatedly asked to elaborate on President Trump's claims of voter fraud.
Well, I have talked about it. I sent out a tweet this morning. It covers my thoughts about the national situation, if that's what you were about to ask. Yeah, I think what I said in the tweet this morning.
Senator, what will you do if the president really does not accept the results of the election?
I'm not going to answer any hypotheticals about where we go from here. I think this is ultimately going to be decided exactly what I said in my tweet. You're going to have contests. You're going to have court decisions. That's how we settle these kinds of disputes in this country.
Have you seen any evidence of voter fraud the president strongly enough?
Look, I've already covered the subject. I've already covered the subject. I told you, I sent out a tweet this morning which covers my view of where we are. I told you I have sent out what I want to say today about this situation in the tweet that you all have.
The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, news conference in Kentucky, went back and forth quite a bit like that. He also, when asked if there will be a peaceful transfer of power if President Trump loses, responded, "Of course, we've had a peaceful transfer of power going back to 1792 every 4 years. We've moved on to a new administration." Senator McConnell just won re-election, although he does not know yet whether he will be majority or minority leader in the next Congress. The Senate now stands at 48 Republicans and 48 Democrats, with 4 seats yet to be called, all currently held by Republicans. That's according to the Associated Press. Of those uncalled seats, 2 are now in Georgia, and both are going to runoffs in January, neither candidate getting above 50% of the vote. We knew about one of the runoffs on election night, and just recently we found out that the John Ossoff Democrat and David Perdue Republican race also going to a runoff. One of the uncalled races is in North Carolina, too close to call. And there's one in Alaska, which is too early to call because more than 40% of early voting is early voting or absentee ballots in that state. And we're told will not be counted until at least next week. But it looks like that could still be a safe Republican seat. Back to the fraud allegations in the presidential contest. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who also just won re-election in a close race, or at least it was close going into it. He ended up winning quite handily. Today, more forthcoming than Senator McConnell about supporting Donald Trump.
You have pledged last night, knew you had said that you would pledge last night $500,000 to help President Trump's legal fund, his defense fund. Does this indicate that you believe that fraud is being committed in this election?
It means that the president should fight hard because what I believe is that when Stacey Abrams challenged the Georgia results, the liberal media in this country praised her for standing up for democracy, that when a Republican challenges a contest, we're accused of undercutting democracy. Here's what I think, Jane. One, this campaign, U.S. was it my money? I'd sell both of my houses to do that, so no. Campaign money. Here's what I think. The case in Arizona, we're on track now with the remaining ballots for Trump to actually win Arizona. The case for Georgia, he's down a couple thousand votes. I think there's outstanding ballots from the military and provisional ballots that he can come back in Georgia. Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Nevada. I think you're going to see in the next 48 hours real evidence of systematic voting irregularities. There's a complaint filed by the U.S. Attorney to the U.S. Attorney in Michigan, someone, I think, in the post office, who was told to backdate ballots instead of November the 4th. There'd be November the 3rd, so they'd be counted. That case is going to the U.S. Attorney in Michigan. The Trump campaign is analyzing the voting rolls for people who voted that are dead, and we'll see what that comes up with. So I think you're going to see some major irregularities, and here's my statement. Democracy depends upon fair elections. President Trump's team is going to have a chance to make a case regarding voting irregularities. They deserve a chance to make that case. I'm going to stand with President Trump. If a Democrat were doing this, it'd be cheered on. And we're not going to let the media intimidate us into exploring whether or not these contests were fairly had.
Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican, today on the Charleston TV station WCSC. A different approach from Republican Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, who was on the program CBS This Morning.
The president suggests that illegal votes are being counted. Have you seen any evidence of fraud occurring in your state?
The president's speech last night was very disturbing to me because he made very, very serious allegations without any evidence to support it. Look, there are some irregularities, I'm sure. There were some decisions that were very bad decisions made by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, made by the Philadelphia Election Commission, and I'd be happy to get into those. But to answer your question directly, I am not aware of any significant fraud, any significant wrongdoing. If it's happened, then the evidence needs to come out. We need to go to court. We need to punish the wrongdoers. We need to redress whatever went wrong. But I'm not aware of any such evidence.
Senator Pat Toomey on CBS Friday Morning. He announced last month that he would not be running for re-election to a third term in 2022 or running for governor of Pennsylvania. CNN reports even as vote totals now show him trailing former Vice President Joe Biden in key battleground states, Donald Trump has not prepared a concession speech, and in conversation with allies in recent days, he has said he has no intention of conceding the election. People familiar with the matter said. That was from CNN. And there is this from NBC's Sahil Kapoor, who tweeted, Biden campaign spokesman Andrew Bates' response to the prospect of Trump refusing to accept defeat. Quote, as we said on July 19th, the American people will decide this election, and the United States government is perfectly capable of escorting trespassers out of the White House. Washington Today continues in a minute.
Sunday on Q&A, Los Angeles Times Supreme Court reporter David Savage on the 2000 Bush versus Gore Supreme Court case, which decided that presidential election, and how the case compares to the legal challenges filed by the Trump campaign.
It was sort of a once-of-a-generation case where, as I say, from the beginning, there were five members of the court, five Republicans, and who sort of took the view of the Bush team, which was, all the votes have been counted in Florida, and Governor Bush has won. I said in this story that I just filed, I thought that's the position President Trump is in sort of now, the position that Al Gore would. This is once you have lost, once the votes have been cast and counted, and you lost, it's very hard to go to court and persuade a court to essentially step in, jump in, change the rules, and overturn that result.
The LA Times' David Savage, Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on C-SPAN's Q&A.
And welcome back to Washington Today. A few more headlines. The nonpartisan ad tracking firm Advertising Analytics says that Joe Biden and Donald Trump's White House campaigns and outside groups together spent a combined $3 billion on advertising through the 2020 cycle. And they looked at every election in the United States, more than 5,600 of them, total spending on ads, $8.4 billion. A federal government watchdog opening an investigation into the Trump campaign's use of the White House complex as a war room on Election Day. Congressman Bill Pascrell, a Democrat from New Jersey, writing to the Office of Special Counsel this week, raising concerns about the campaign using space in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building to monitor election returns. And Pascrell tweeting that the office is now investigating the matter as potential Hatch Act violations. And the World Health Organization says it's going to review biosecurity measures across the globe after Danish health authorities found a mutated form of the coronavirus present in the country's mink farms. The detection of the virus among minks raising concerns about the effectiveness of a future COVID-19 vaccine. The Danish Prime Minister says the government plans to cull all 15 minks in Danish farms to try to reduce the risk of the animals retransmitting the new strain to humans. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is sending a letter to fellow House Democrats asking for their support in her bid for another term as Speaker. She writes, "Our caucus is blessed with many diverse and entrepreneurial perspectives," and she will be contacting members individually to, quote, "get the benefit of your thinking fresh from the campaign trail." There are still about 30 House races too close to call, according to AP, but it appears the Democrats will be holding the majority next Congress, but with a smaller majority, Republicans gaining at least 7 seats. Speaker Pelosi held her weekly news conference today on Capitol Hill.
Madam Speaker, you opened by talking about this big win that it appears Joe Biden might have in the popular vote and so forth. But in that same election, in that same environment, you're going to end up losing seats off your majority. What does that tell you about what the American people want from their Congress?
We lost a few seats, but as I said, we won those seats in Trump districts. He wasn't on the ballot. He is now. I think that the what happened with the Democrats for Congress across the country helped contribute to the Biden success. So we're very proud of to be part of that mandate. Very proud of that. Would I rather have I have the utmost respect for the members whose districts were almost insurmountable with Trump on the ballot. I do believe that we'll be in a, with Biden in the White House and a Democratic Congress, and hopefully a Democratic Senate, we'll see in January, we'll be able to do great things for the American people. As I said, we've lost some battles, but we won the war. We have the gavel. We have the gavel.
You don't see any sort of policy or any kind of corrective message from the American people there at all?
No, I do think that we should always be evaluating and respecting what the people have to say. I myself think that and as I've said this to the members over and over again, income inequality, income, the disparities in income and equity in our country must be addressed, and everybody must be at the table to do that. That's something that Frank has, Chairman Pallone has worked on from the perspective of New Jersey and his committee. So we have to go to that place. People are concerned about the threat to their jobs from technology, from trade, from other people, just newcomers to our country, and we have to show them this is not a zero-sum game. Somebody's success here is not taking away from your success there. So I see this as a tremendous opportunity where people are respectful of people's opinions, the diversity of opinion, and again, some members had some concerns about what happened in their district, but most of people expressed those concerns. Most of them won. And we had no opportunity cost spreading a wide net. I was disappointed that we didn't win some seats in Texas. I'll be very honest about that. But nonetheless, we're paving the way. We're paving the way. We made our investments. We've won the we held the House. That was our goal. If we could win more, that would be good. We're still in the hunt on a number of seats right now. So we can have this conversation probably next week with some numbers. But for right now, safely, the gavel is in the hands of the Democrats. Safely, we have the prospect momentarily, if not happening while we're here, of President-elect Joe Biden, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Capitol Hill. She has led the House Democratic Caucus since 2003, either as Speaker or the Minority Leader. Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York tweeted today about the lost seats this election. "There are folks running around on TV blaming progressivism for Dem underperformance. I was curious, so I decided to open the hood on struggling campaigns of candidates who were blaming progressives for their problems. Almost all had awful execution on digital. During a pandemic." Those last three words in capital letters. The House is continuing to meet every 3 days in pro forma session. No legislative business expected for a couple of weeks until a deal, unless a deal on a new coronavirus economic relief bill is reached. And with the election over, Speaker Pelosi today saying negotiations with the White House should resume on that.
While we prepare for the new Biden administration, we must also move swiftly for a new coronavirus relief bill to continue that. We want the Republicans to come back to the table, the White House, the leadership, whatever, 100 for 2 days in a row, over 100,000 cases were reported. The imperative to act could not be greater. Over 9.5 million, nearly 9 million people infected, nearly 250,000 deaths, and tens of millions on unemployment. Again, I'm calling on the administration to come back to the table.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Outside the White House, economic advisor to the president, Larry Kudlow, said the president's team has already been in touch with the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell about a coronavirus aid bill.
Let me ask you the future about stimulus talks. You said that the White House has spoken with Mitch McConnell.
Yes, we have.
What do you believe the likely scenario from here going forward?
Well, Senator McConnell, and for that matter, President Trump and Secretary Mnuchin and I and the others, we would like to negotiate a package. It would still be a targeted package to specific areas. We're not interested in, you know, $2 or $3 trillion. You'll see familiar themes.
So you've moved off that 1.9 number?
We haven't really even talked about numbers yet. Substantively, in policy terms, we're very keen on the renewing and extending the PPP aid for small business, right? Worked brilliantly last year. I think it's one of the key reasons why unemployment has come down so much. Unemployment assistance, I think, you know, we've got an unemployment rate way down to 6.9%, but there's still people out of work and there's hardship, and I believe, you know, the executive order the president put out was extremely helpful, but only lasted a few months, as we warned, and now it's time for Congress to act to help the unemployed. The insurance liability issues will still be there. More money for hospitals, more money for schools, K through 12, and so forth. Those will be on the table.
So are the talks with Nancy Pelosi over with?
Sorry?
Are the talks with Nancy Pelosi over with, and it's a White House Republican issue going forward?
I would just say right now, we're communicating with Senator McConnell. By all accounts, we're going to hold the Senate and pick up 10 or 12 seats in the House, some people saying 18 seats. I'll just say 10 or 12. So we think we're in a very strong position. The president and his policies had long coattails in this election. But this will play out, Blake. It will play out. I think everyone's going to want to get a stimulus package through.
Larry Kudlow, director of the White House National Economic Council. On Wall Street, the Dow was down 66, NASDAQ up 4, S&P down 1. The Labor Department's jobs report for October showing 638,000 jobs added. The unemployment rate fell from 7.9% to 6.9%. Some reaction from Larry Kudlow, again, outside the White House.
I want to say how happy and proud we are to get the unemployment rate down to 6.9%, which is remarkable, in 6 months. We didn't think, most consensus didn't think we'd see single digits, much less 6.9, until early next year. So I'm proud of that. There's still a lot of hardship left. A lot of people need to go back, but we generated another 900,000, 907,000 private sector jobs. And we're gaining on it. And I think it goes back to the excellent, well-crafted relief package of last winter. And frankly, we still have low taxes and low regulations and relatively cheap energy and good trade deals. And I think presidential policies are enormously helpful here. And I hope it continues.
President's economic advisor Larry Kudlow outside the White House. October's job gains may be even stronger than it first appears. And the number was held down by the loss of about 150,000 temporary census jobs. But the U.S. has 10.1 million fewer jobs than it did before the coronavirus pandemic took hold in March. Thanks for joining us on Washington Today. Get the free C-SPAN radio app to listen on the go and also get our podcasts, including of this program, wherever you get your podcasts or at cspan.org/podcasts. Have a good night and weekend.